I'm Stephanie Howe, co-host of Get Inspired and Innovate, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
A lot of educators that I know very well, their quote unquote brand is not their persona.
Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. Welcome, Leader of Learning, to episode 90. If this is your first time here, thank you so much for joining. If you're a return listener, I once again want to thank you for coming back and tuning in. I can't believe we've made it, not only to episode 90, but to the holiday season. This episode is being published on Christmas Day in 2020, and wow, it has been quite a year. So if you're listening to this around the time of its release, I want to congratulate you for making it here and hope that you get a lot of rest and relaxation as we take this holiday break. And I also want to, of course, wish you and yours a happy and merry holiday season and a happy new year. In episode 90, I bring on a familiar face, Ken Shelton, who was actually our co-host and participated in the discussion last episode, which was in the Devil's Advocate series that we did on growth mindset. But even before we hit record in that conversation, Ken and I were talking about a little bit about branding and how educators can brand themselves. And so I wanted to follow up on that conversation, but I really wanted to record it and have you listen in as well. And so this episode is going to be all about branding, and Ken has some very interesting takes and thoughts on even the word branding, and I'd love for you to listen. He has a ton of knowledge on the subject, and like I said, some interesting thoughts there. So right after this, coming up is my interview with Ken Shelton. Leader of Learning, welcome back for another episode. I appreciate you tuning in, and I'm really excited about this one. As a matter of fact, our guest in this episode will be very recognizable and very familiar to you because he was just on the podcast not too long ago, and we had a conversation even before hitting record that inspired me to want to reach out to him again and say, why don't you come back on and let's talk about something a little different this time. So before we get there and introduce our topic, let me introduce our next guest on the Leader of Learning podcast, Mr. Ken Shelton. Thanks so much for being here again. And of course, if you could just let the listeners know again who you are, where you are, and what you do.
So I will share my bio in a second, but I have to ask a question. How many times are you on a podcast where you're no longer a guest?
That's a great question. In the last episode, you know, when we did our Devil's Advocate with Rochelle, I called you a co-host. So I don't mean to disrespect you by stripping you of that title. Let's go with co-host. Ken is okay, our co-host in this episode, talking all about education, branding, and branding yourself as an educator and a content creator, perhaps. So we'll get there in a minute.
Yeah. Take it away, so Ken. For those of you that may not know who I am, first of all, Dan, it's a pleasure to be back on here with you. And I think it's important for the audience to know that, you know, the conversations that you and I have had that have been recorded and that haven't been recorded really are soul-filling. And I appreciate the opportunity to spend this time with you all, with you and with the audience. So for those of you that don't know who I am, my name's Ken Shelton. I am a Los Angeles-based educator. I taught in the Los Angeles Unified School District for over 18 years. I currently am an independent consultant, a speaker, advisor, and overall technologist. Most of the work I do is around not just educational technology, but also around design and diversity, equity, inclusion, and anti-bias and anti-racist support. So a lot of things.
A lot of things. I love it. I love the content that you create. And speaking of content, I don't know, I do love creating content myself, obviously, as a podcast host and producer, but I consume a lot of content. And I heard you fairly recently on a friend's podcast. I'm going to give a shout out to Brad Schreffler on the Planning Period podcast. Yep. And you know, Brad does something interesting. He asks the same three questions to all his guests. And I don't do that so much, but I'm interested in two things about you, and I think about my future guests. I might work this in as a more regular thing. The first thing I want to ask you is, because this podcast is called Leader of Learning, I wanted to ask you about the moment, the experience, the time in your career as an educator where you realized, and I hope this has happened, because if you haven't yet, clearly you are a leader of learning. But when did you realize that you were a leader in the education space?
I'm glad you asked that question. So I will share that I actually reject the use of the word leader. I prefer thought provocator, inspirer, motivator, supporter, because there's a couple of things. Now, granted, you know, ideally, whatever content we produce, whether it's on a podcast, a blog, a book, or in my case, which is, you know, my, I would say my passion point is, you know, if you're on stage and speaking, there's going to be people, ideally, that if you have something of value you're offering, they're going to want to consume it. So they're going to, you know, gravitate towards what you're producing as a catalyst for their own thought and ideally their own action. The reason why I don't care for the use of the word leader, because I've actually been called in many spaces, well, you're a thought leader. And I say, well, I would prefer thought provocator and inspirer, because if I'm a leader, think about it, the very nature of lead means that I'm in front of others. And I always share with educators that while I may have thoughts that you don't have, that if I approach it from the standpoint that I'm a leader, then that lends itself for me to not to have higher degrees of a phrase I like to use called cognitive humility. It means that if I'm leading, then that means I don't need to learn, and that means everyone else is following. So for me, my whole idea, which by the way, I won't say shameless plug, definitely a plug. This actually kind of ties in with the previous episode you had me on where we did talk about growth mindset, because ultimately my whole thing is that if I don't accept that, oh, well, I'm a leader, then it means that there's always room for growth, that there's learning that can always occur. And I just really don't care for the whole idea that some people, you know, they like to create the equivalent of an educational hierarchy and that they are above others. All of us have our own unique experiences, our own unique thoughts. Some are able to amplify those more than others. But, you know, for me, I always just share with educators that we're all in it together. And ideally, my experiences will provide, again, additional thought and growth for you, because ultimately, I want all educators to be successful in the context of whatever the role is that they do, because if they're successful, then ideally that success translates to, you know, a more equitable and inclusive student experience across the board. So
I have a lot of thoughts about your take on the word leader, but that's for maybe another episode, who knows. No, what I love about that is we're not even on the Devil's Advocate series anymore, and you're still playing Devil's Advocate and you're pushing back. That's awesome. You know, I had a guest on here not too long ago. Maybe this is a better follow-up question. I had a guest on not too long ago, Mike Yates, who is the host of the now it's the Schoolish podcast. It used to be School Sucks. And he and I talked a little bit about branding as well. But I asked him a question, and I want to ask you too, kind of as a follow-up to the first one. You know, now we've had a presidential election and it's over. But during one of the lead-ups and one of the debates, I heard a question, or it was actually after one of the debates. It was as the political, I don't know what you call them, like they were, you know, arguing back and forth who won the debate. Anyway, someone asked, and I want to ask you, do you consider yourself to be more of a change agent or a disruptor?
Well, you can't have change if you're not disrupting. I would say... that's a great question. Okay, I would say both in varying degrees and percentages. It depends on where I'm at that particular moment and where I want to be going. So, you know, to me, you can't change things if you're not disrupting, but, you know, not all change is good and not all disruption is bad. So if I had to pick between the two, can I abstain?
All right. What a cop-out.
No, I mean, no, in the spirit of asking the question, I would say change agent. Change, because we do need change. But again, I do stress that change often doesn't, Actually, let me rephrase this. Meaningful change doesn't occur if you're not disrupting and, I'll even add, dismantling.
No, I like that. And it kind of reminds me of the phrase that a lot of people like to throw out, where you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, and that right. you need that uncomfortability and the ability to work through it to really change. And I think that uncomfortability in and of itself could be considered a disruption. So I'm fine right. with that. And you didn't abstain. You answered it. That was great.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. You know, if I may add real quick, you know, one of yeah. the other things I always mention in one of my talks is, you know, if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. And so part of challenging is that disruption component. And again, you know, for me, it really is, you know, are you disrupting for the right things, the right reasons and for the right thing? And if you are, then it means that the change is for, you know, the end result of that is the change that you seek.
Yeah, that's great. Now, again, we could debate the word leader, but we're not about to do that on this show. I do consider you somewhat of a leader in the space that I want to focus on in this episode of branding. Yeah. You mentioned your experience with consulting and speaking. And so I think you obviously bring an expertise here to the table that I'm interested in hearing, and I know the listeners will be as well. First question there when it comes to branding is, what does that mean to you? Because to me, it could be as simple as, like, I've heard it explained before, where it's basically just your reputation that you carry with you as an educator or a connected educator. But what does it mean to you?
Yeah, I'm glad we're having this conversation. You know, I don't like the use of the word brand. I just don't. It what it means to me in the context of our dialogue here is I have this persona. And that persona is based on a reputation, which we'll unpack a little bit later. I have this persona and it's based on a reputation, and my reputation is based on content that I produce, and that that I produce has a value to either a niche group or a larger, you know, I would say cross demographic component of, in the context of what we're talking about, education. And in order for me to stay relevant and maintain value to that particular demographic, I have to be true to my brand.
So I guess a follow-up question to that would be, based on your answer to that question, do you feel like educators who are putting themselves out there, and dare I say, content creators, therefore need to maintain a persona, is the word that you used, and therefore they might not be, I guess, true to their real selves, or at least constricted to something that they feel like people need to know them by or know them as?
I do, and I'm glad you brought that up, because ultimately that gets to the root of the reasons why I find branding and how it is generally identified as problematic. A lot of educators that I know very well, their quote unquote brand is not their persona. So what they put out on social media, what they put out on their blog, and honestly, in some cases, what they say on stage is not that real person. And so for me, you know, anyone could look, if you look at what I speak on, what I occasionally write on, which I need to do a better job of, a lot of the podcasts that I have, you know, even with you, the conversations you and I have had, my own podcast, you can comb through my social media, you'll see that I've been consistent for years and years and years. And then when I meet people in person, and then they recognize that, like, okay, this is the same Ken that I've seen on Instagram or on Twitter. This is what he's talked about on stage. That's why I personally say, you know, when someone says, well, what's your brand? I'm like, what do you mean? What's my brand? I'm true to myself. I have, you know, and it reminds me of, which I don't know if you and I talked about this before. Have you ever read Know Your Why by Simon Sinek?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. See, were you and I brothers at one point?
I think, again, like we said the last time, we do have the same haircut. That's for sure.
Dude, Yeah, I'm so glad you have me on here. When you understand, and this is the hard part, when ideally you get to a point, when you understand what your purpose is or your why, your brand is secondary. And so I always share with educators that, like, I am my quote unquote brand. I am authentic. I'm going to be my whole true self. And I say it. And what I find that is interesting is when I know educators their whole true self is not aligned with their brand. I watch them go through the mental gymnastics of adjusting what they say and how they act when they're in public spaces versus when they're in private spaces. And that's why I have an issue with that whole branding thing, because ultimately, are you creating a derivative of yourself to be more appealing to a larger mass? Or are you saying, you know what, this is who I am, and I'm willing to accept and reconcile with the fact that some people won't like it, and ideally, some people do. Hopefully, there's more that do than there is that don't. And so that's my whole issue with the branding thing is, like I said, is I've just seen it. I'm not going to name names on here because ultimately those are private conversations I have with those educators where I basically challenge them to, you know, what happens if you get exposed? Then what are you going to do?
Hey, Leader of Learning. We'll be right back with the episode in just 1 minute, but I wanted to talk to you about an amazing new service and supportive platform called Skilled Space. You know, educational technology is a big part of my job as an instructional coach, and it's certainly more essential to good teaching now than it's ever been before. It's also clear that not every teacher is getting the tech help they need, but teachers like you or someone you know still deserve a space to get the coaching they deserve. That's where Skilled Space comes in. The same folks who brought us powerful tools such as Swivel are building a world where you'll never struggle again with edtech. Skilled Space brings a whole galaxy of skills to your fingertips as a one-stop shop for quick and convenient virtual coaching that's on your terms and within your schedule. And no discount code needed here because it's 100% free. So if you need help or if you want to help others, head over to skilled.space.
This conversation went differently already than I thought it was going to, but awesome, you know, and so now I have another follow-up. You know, I don't know if you've seen it or felt it. I think I have seen, I'm going to say over the past 6 to 12 months, a lot more pushback on quote unquote edu celebrities and education brands than I had before that.
Yeah.
You know, being a connected educator and having, let's say, thousands of people that I'm connected with, some obviously more closely than others, it's something that I've noticed. And I'm wondering, I guess, do you think it's fair? Do you think it's right? Do you have you been surprised by anything you've seen or heard in terms of that kind of, I don't want to call it backlash, but I guess really trying to keep people honest is how I would, how I'd refer to it.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, I've noticed that as well. You know, to me, with exposure should come accountability. And I've had many private conversations with individual educators and even small groups who have, you know, they've been held accountable. And this is where you get into the whole thing around, you know, are you changing your quote unquote brand because the winds have shifted, which means you're not true to yourself. And, you know, what are your, you know, the terminology I like to use is, what are your receipts? Where are your receipts? You know, over the last 6 to 12 months, I've noticed a lot more educators are all of a sudden talking about equity, or they're talking about diversity, or they're talking about anti-racism. And it's like, okay, you weren't saying anything like this, you know, 18 months, 24 months, 36 months ago. And so that's where I get into the whole idea around the disingenuous approach to branding. You know, just stay true to what you are. And now that, and I want to be clear on this, that doesn't mean that there isn't room for growth. And that doesn't mean that there isn't room for learning. And maybe you modify, you know, something that you do. But when I see a 180 shift and now all of a sudden those individuals or groups are now being held accountable in social media, they deserve it. You know, the terminology.
Or, yeah. Or not even a 180 shift, but a one-off
right.
Blog post, Twitter post, podcast episode. Yeah, I hear you.
Right.
I hear you.
And that's where I get into the whole idea around how genuine is your brand, or, you know, are you providing a false narrative? The word I love to use is, are you a charlatan? You know, you notice something changed, and so now you're going to change your tune so that you can either keep your existing audience or try to expand your audience. And, you know, and I think that ultimately, if you operate, as I shared before, if you operate from a degree of humility, you know, then there's room for growth. And for me, I'm adamant that, look, there's a whole lot I know, there's a whole lot more that I don't know. And as long as I stay true to my why and true to my purpose, then whatever minor shifts I make, it's like, okay, I understand why Ken is doing that, because I can ultimately connect those to my purpose and my why. That question should be asked of anyone who all of a sudden has changed their messaging to say, well, what was your intent? What was your purpose from the start? And how does what you're doing now align with that? And if they can't answer that question, then what they've done essentially is they focus more on the brand and the persona than the actual work.
That's great. I love what you just said there. And I guess I want to sort of segue into, we are basically at the new year, and hopefully it'll be a very different and better year than what we had in 2020. But let's assume that we have educators out there who are looking to, I don't want to use the word brand. You made me feel bad for using that word now.
Don't.
They're looking to do more and be more effective and influential in the education realm, whether that means they're branching out and reaching out more on social media, whether it means they want to maybe get into consulting, create a side hustle, just create content like this. What should they be thinking about as we enter 2021?
So first, just hit record. And I use that both literally and figuratively. I have found, it took me a while to do that as well, because it's like, I want to be perfect right from the beginning. No one is perfect from the beginning. And it's precisely why when I had this conversation with others, I share that, I find things problematic with my TEDx talk that I did back in, 2011, 2012? I'm like, but I'm glad it's there, because I am not the same person now as I was then. My experiences are different. My thinking is different to some degree, but my focus and my purpose has not changed. So first it would be just hit record. Second, I saw this on one of the Instagram feeds that I follow of an author of a book that where she just said, I just write, I just hit record, and I'm not worried about finding an audience. I will just do it, and my audience ideally will find me. And that's where, going back to what you shared a little while ago, the whole idea around edge of celebrities, that's how you can reject the use of that word celebrity. Because remember, I shared, I'm a Los Angeles-based educator. So I don't know if I shared this with you before, but in between me attempting to play professional football, I then ended up in education. And I don't want to stress ended up like it was a secondary thing, but it wasn't what I originally wanted to do. I originally wanted to play professional football. I had the privilege of playing college football. I wanted to play professional. I grew up here in LA. What's the other most popular industry out here that most people do? I spent the better part of 15, almost 20 years acting and modeling. I still do print work. And the whole idea around celebrity is the visibility thing. I want people to see me. I want people to know who I am. I want people to like me. I want them to look up to me, if you will. And my whole thing with that is, do you either want that to be manufactured or do you want that to be genuine? And so to the point of what you're saying, if you stay true to your purpose and your why, you just hit record, you just write, you just produce content, ultimately, and obviously you do have to, there has to be a degree of what I would say marketing and promotion. It reminds me of Austin Kleon's book, Show Your Work. If your work isn't online, it doesn't exist. So there is a degree of that. But I draw a line between self-promotion and self-aggrandizement. So those that are looking for the likes and saying, oh, look at me. I'm a thought leader. If you look at someone's bio and they have thought leader in their bio, ask yourself, why are they self-identifying with that versus who's following them, who's listening to them, who's consuming their content? See, there's the difference there. And so for educators that want to do it, I just say hit record, write, do it, and share it out, and your audience will find you. Not everyone can be a gazillionaire, if you will, in this space, but are you in it because you have something of value to offer? And back to your question, do you want to be a disruptor or a change agent, or are you just chasing dollars? Because if you're just chasing the money, that's where you get into the problematic areas that I shared earlier about branding. But for me, I think the most important thing is just put it out there. And yeah, I will never tell an educator that they shouldn't have a side hustle, because you and I both know educators in general are grossly underpaid for their time. So if you
let me pick up on that thought for a second.
Okay.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, it's okay.
I was thinking as you were saying about just hit record and put yourself and put your content out there and and just kind of let it fly and stay true to your message. And in terms of the word brand, that's where I think of like being on brand means you have to stay true to, like you said before, your why. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because especially you just mentioned, you know, the side hustle piece, and I've alluded to it already here in the conversation. You know, 2020 was a great year for me and the Leader of Learning podcast and actually the Leader of Learning brand, if you want to call it that, in the sense that we are now an LLC. And I say we, you know, that's one of those weird things about content creation. I'm a one man show right here. I do everything, but I have become a small business, if you will, and it has become a side hustle. And the reason I bring that up is not to like flaunt the fact that I'm now making money and may even, dare I say, call myself a semi-professional podcaster, which is really cool.
Very.
But there are companies, I've spent very little time, some time, I'm not going to lie, reaching out and seeing if I can monetize the show. But those aren't the times when I've been able to be quite honest with you and my audience. In full transparency, the sponsors that I've gotten on this show, and they've all been in the year 2020, have reached out to me, or somehow we've connected because we have a mutual interest. And they have said to me, we think you and this show are the right way for us to go about getting our message out there. And it's made me take a harder look at the way I market Leader of Learning LLC and maybe not to try so hard to reach out and say like, hey, big educational technology company, I love your product, now sponsor my show. It's not about that. It's about, like you said before, making sure that I stay on brand with my message, stay true to what I've been doing since 2017 when I started, and maybe making some subtle shifts here and there if necessary. Like I did with the Devil's Advocate series. You know, that was something new that I wanted to try, a shift that I wanted to make to keep things more relevant and whatnot. But I love that message that you shared, and I'm wondering if you could maybe follow up on it, but also just advise educators who are getting into the space more about just maybe what to watch out for.
Oh, good question. Yeah, so again, I know I'm being repetitive. Just hit record. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you sharing that, one for me and for the audience. The fact that, you know, let's just put it this way. The use of the word brand is not what's problematic, as I shared before. It's what I have witnessed over the last decade. You kind of bolstered my point. You had a message, you put it out there, and the sponsors found you. And guess what? No one said to you, we want a sponsor, but you have to change what you say to blank. You know, so, you know, I think for educators, you know, again, just hit record, find what your message is, stay true to your message. And the things that you need to watch out for are all of the following. There was a quote from a hip hop song, and I'm drawing a blank on it right now, but it basically was like, ultimately, don't allow your name or your persona to be bigger than who you are, because just as quickly as it got big, it can become irrelevant and or disappear. And I'm drawing a blank right now on who the hip hop artist had that in the song, but it really goes to the whole idea around humility. I think for educators, you know, you just brought up another thing. It is important to recognize that, you know, set up a C corp or an S corp for yourself. If you are building, you know, a side component to what you're doing, then there are ways to operate as a business entrepreneur that allows you to be more flexible in what you do, how you do it, and the exposure that you have towards everything from the income to taxes to things like that. Another thing to watch out for are those that may encourage you to shift your message, because they may like you the person, but they may not like the persona. And that goes back to the whole idea around staying true to yourself and true to what your message is. But really, I think, you know, it's a learning process. And I think the most important thing for everyone to do is to recognize that there are mechanisms for you to represent the content that you produce. And as long as you stay true to that, then ultimately, at the end of the day, you can look in the mirror and say, you know, I'm true to my message, I'm true to my voice, and I'm true to my purpose, and I'm okay with that not resonating with some people.
I think that if you and I could, we would absolutely talk for like all day and maybe all week or weekend at least. but I do kind of need to cut us off, I think, at this point. But what you just shared is awesome. And, you know, I guess my advice to educators out there who are thinking about what branding means to them or just who want to do more and be more influential, first off, what Ken already said is amazing advice, which is to really understand and start with your why, and then just really understand where you fit in the grand scheme of things. You know, you're just one person getting started, and maybe come up with a team of people or find a network or a community. But even then, like, where is your space in that community? That's just my really quick, very basic advice to anyone looking to reach out and branch out in that sort of way. Ken, take us out. Final thoughts, and then please let people know where they can find you. And also, I know you mentioned it before, but where they can find your podcast as well.
So first of all, I appreciate being able to spend this time with you. Like I said, you and I have had great conversations, both recorded and offline. And I sincerely appreciate the opportunity to be able to spend this time with you. I can't wait for us to be able to break bread together in person. And ultimately, for the educators that are listening, you know, hopefully this will provide additional thought, perhaps disrupt some of your thinking and change some of what you're doing. See what I did there?
I do.
Yeah. Also, I do have my own podcast that I am a co-host with my close friend Dee Lanier, called The Liberated Educator. So hopefully the audience will, you know, we're on all the different podcast feeds. Feel free to whatever feed is your preference. Just do a search, The Liberated Educator, and you'll be able to find us. And, you know, again, my website is kennethshelton.net. And hopefully we'll be able to have additional conversations around branding. And I do want educators here to know that, you know, you will be able to find your audience and grow. And yeah, the more value you offer that's true to your purpose, the more your audience will find you and you'll be able to grow.
Absolutely. 100% agree. Thank you so much again for your time here and being a return co-host on the show. We won't call it a guest, but yeah, definitely getting up there with, you know, the most times repeated on the show as a recurring, whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much again, Ken.
Thank you.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.